I don't think not acting in violence means that we're totally defenseless.
Not acting in violence has given me post-traumatic stress disorder and made me suicidal. So there's that too, you know.
Welcome to Kingdom Conversations. This is Sean.
This is Curtis.
This is Sally.
This is Anne.
So this episode is coming out on Halloween. So you might be listening to this on Halloween, but we released an episode last week called Halloween. So if you haven't listened to that yet, go back and take a listen. But this week we are going to talk about
sex and violence.
I wasn't part of making this topic.
It wasn't her fault.
It's interesting that you want that known.
Let it be on record.
Oh, man.
But yeah, not sure whose idea it was. I think it was Sean's.
Sean and Curtis's.
Sean and I were talking about, what were we talking about?
We were talking about how in certain movies, I will be bothered by sex scenes, and I didn't like watching sex scenes in movies, but I didn't really care about there being terrible
violence.
I was like, oh, violence doesn't bother me at all. And then you were like, what? So that's where we got started, where we're going to talk about sex and violence.
Do the sex scenes bother you if you're by yourself, or is it only if, like, Sean's mom is in the room?
Well, if Curtis's mom is in the room. No, actually, they bother me when I'm by myself.
Why don't you think you're bothered by the violence?
So I wondered, I actually thought about that a lot after our podcast, where I was like, why does the violence not bother me? And what I have kind of come up with is that it probably does bother me, or it is affecting me, but that I'm not seeing the effects that it's having on me as sinful, but they're probably, I'm just not, it's just not like registering to me. But where for some reason, sexual things are registering in my mind as sinful much quicker than violence, because I, out of all four of us sitting here, I'm probably the most violent person when I'm angry. I actually do have violent tendencies when I'm angry. So maybe violence is affecting me much more than I'm aware of.
It's an interesting insight. I mean, I think a lot of us go through life and don't really analyze, you know, what we accept or don't accept. And violence has been something that I've been around in some way, shape, or form since I was little. Different games and different things. You know, we had guns and we'd be shooting and pretending we were shooting and different things like that. So, and I wonder if that has, you know, certainly I think my culture, the culture I was raised in, family of origin and just being in America, we fought, we played certain sports, we did different things that kind of seemed to cultivate violence as being okay. So when I look back, I kind of see that that's been more of a thing that wasn't put down as bad. When I was a kid, it was oftentimes encouraged in certain cases by certain adults as well, you know, going out there and smashing someone. Or
I think my mom raised me up to not watch things like boxing or anything too violent because it was so violent. But I even got kind of desensitized to violence in some of the video games I would play. And don't get me wrong, I am not an anti-violence in video games. The only video games I like to play are first-person
shooters. Right.
No, not sports. It's first-person shooters. Yeah. Let's be honest, like, those are the only ones that are fun for me.
Right. Curtis would be playing those and I'd be like...
I tried to get Sally to play a death match with me.
Families.
And that's what she said.
What
about his
say?
Children?
Not anymore.
You just killed that guy. He had a wife.
He did. He did have a wife.
And then it kind of made me think about the violence that we consume in our entertainment and the way we don't really think about the idea that even though this was a very minor character, henchman number three in the alley, you know, that doesn't have a name to the face as far as the actor who played that character. But we just watch them get wiped out and not think about the fact that everybody is somebody's son. Everybody is somebody's daughter. Everybody has family and people who care for them and love them. And I don't know, I just think we don't.
I think that's an interesting point right there. I think so many of us go through life and we don't do that. We don't sit there and think that this is somebody, or I know when you think about the sex aspect of things when we were younger and we were looking at pornography or different things like that, that's someone's daughter, that's, you know, that's someone's sister. Mm-hmm. And that whole idea that, and this is one of the things that I think perpetuates violence and unhealthy sex. When you get into a realm of fantasy or this idea of someone I don't know, it becomes easy to dehumanize someone, whether it be in violence or sex. You know, it's hard to demonize someone you know. You know, mm-hmm. that whole aspect of people didn't do that. We didn't do that. We didn't think that this could have been someone's sister. This could be my sister or something like that. Or
I like putting it in that perspective because it does help to make it like more personal. Like this could be somebody's mother or sister. But I saw, I think I'm sure it was on Facebook or something, where somebody said, you know, like she's somebody's wife, sister, mother. Like, but then it ended with she's somebody. Mm. And I really like that because mm-hmm. like that's where we should get to.
Right.
Where it's like, okay, this is somebody.
So to me, it's more dehumanizing to not flinch at the killing of henchman number three than it is to say so-and-so chose to take naked pictures and mm-hmm. that might be my sister.
Mm-hmm. When I look back at the Bible, when I look at the Old Testament especially, there is a ton of sex and violence in the Bible. A ton. And I don't think that either are glorified, or I don't think one is made more of a sin than the other or less of a sin than the other. As a whole, Christians in general have, or at least the people, my friends, have more of an issue with sex scenes in movies than graphic violence.
I don't know if this will make sense. I can watch like an MMA match. I can watch like a UFC match. And when I watch something like that, I'm not entering in it and seeing myself pound someone down while I'm watching one. Or I was when I was watching boxing either. I didn't see, it wasn't like in my internal fantasy was participating in it. However, when I would go enter into like a sexuality or like a fantasy thing there, I was more of my inner self participating.
I've never imagined myself participating in any pornography I've ever witnessed. So that's interesting to me that that's even something that...
That's how it is with most men in pornography, by the way, for studies
some
and different
women
things.
Some women too, yeah. Because like when I watch UFC, I'm trying to think of like the last really good UFC match I watched. Probably the one that got me the most excited was watching Holly Holm beat Ronda Rousey. It was just amazing. And I'm a Ronda Rousey fan. I still love Ronda Rousey, but just watching her beat her, and then just a little bit later, watching Misha Tate put her to sleep. I remember when that happened, Misha Tate, just like right at the last moment, got her in a headlock and she didn't tap out. She went to sleep and I was like, cannot believe what I just watched. I was like freaking out. Then I go to bed and I don't then have dreams where I'm Misha Tate and I'm getting Holly Holm into a chokehold and, you know, fighting it out until she, you know, goes to sleep. Mm. However, if I watch a sex scene, I can then later have, when I remember I said in an episode a little bit ago, I said I'll have a sex dream. And what I mean by that is I will be one of the people in that scene I saw. I will dream it and I will be participating in what I had seen in the movie or, you know, whatever it was. So for me, the sex scenes, they can like take me into a place I don't want to go in my dreams, but I've never had a dream where I was then a person partaking in like the violent nature of the movie I saw.
I think just when you were talking about that, is it UFC fight?
Mm-hmm.
It just bothers me hearing about it. Like I just mm-hmm. like cringe and I've never liked any of that. Like I think I'm more affected by violence or I'm like more put off. Like I mm-hmm. don't like to watch it.
Mm.
But that's like different than maybe what I am internalizing. It's just like what I start thinking about is why are they doing that? Mm-hmm. It's so brutal and I hate that they're doing this to each other. Like if it's UFC and then if it's a movie or something, I've always brought up that poor person just got shot and nobody cares because we're not invested in their life. I also think it's interesting how if you watch a show from bad person's perspective.
The anti-hero.
You always like still kind of rooting for them or you don't want them to die or you, what's the one about the cyber attack?
Mr. Robot?
Yeah, Mr. Robot.
Well, the thing about Mr. Robot is there's no good guys.
Yeah, there is no good guys in the whole thing. It's kind of like back and forth.
Define a good guy.
No, I'm serious. Like, I mean, yeah, I think that's something about those types of shows that have anti-heroes, like Sons of Anarchy, for example.
Yeah, that's another example.
There are people who, they're the stars of the show. The show's about them, but they're not the good guys. But they are able to write the story in a way where they're justified in some of their actions because of the outside circumstances are also unjust.
The truth about the villain or the guy who's doing the bad thing, it's because they've been broken or hurt. So I think I have like all this compassion and sympathy for like...
Sally's compassionate.
The person that is the shooter, like in a mass shooting. Like, I always think about like...
So you're compassionate for the mass shooter, but you don't care about the random person the mass shooter killed.
No, I care about them all, but I'm just like...
That's the thing about...
You might be putting some words in their mouth.
I know, you were talking about, there's the study where a lot of men do envision themselves involved. You talk about you don't go to sleep envisioning yourself in a pounding match, but you will in a... Sexual situation.
Right.
What about you, Sally? How do you... I mean, I'm willing to share. Like, for me, when I go to bed after seeing violence or sex, like, I don't envision myself, like, involved in it when I'm laying down trying to go to sleep. What I see are images from it. Like, just, like, pictures or stills from the movie that flash and before my eyes. And
well, I think I've had, like, stress dreams more. Funky dreams about being chased and stuff like that, more where I'm the victim of the violence, not that I'm acting on the violence, but like I'm just in this really stressful situation, I'm trying to protect my kids, I'm running, I'm not usually I'm more of the victim in a dream like that. If I watch a TV show with sex and stuff, then it might make me feel like, oh, now I'm kind of in the mood to go have sex with my husband, but I don't see myself in that. And then I mean, I have sex dreams. I mean, I don't have them that often, but I'll often joke like, oh, I had a dream that we were having sex last night. I think it's been like too long since we've had sex. That's usually how it comes up. Just to be like honest, I feel really vulnerable putting my dreams out there like this. But
I was like, wow, I'm totally shocked. I don't look at you the same way anymore.
This episode explicit.
I love it. So,
I like, finally, it's about time. I just think you're a real person.
I mean, it's funny because we're talking about sex and violence, but I think the thing is like sex and violence overlap a lot.
Mm.
Like even in those types of shows, like I've seen lots of movies where some people are like yelling at each other, even like hitting each other. And then they just start kissing and having sex.
Mm.
Like there's something about the violence that turns them on.
I think the thing of where some of the connection between the sex and violence aspect, I know when I was in the Marine Corps, we had plans for the night. We're going out. And we're going to have sex with somebody. We're going to get drunk and have sex with someone, where it's more like just a passion-based thing. And I think the violent aspect can be, you know, a quick passion-based thing. And
that's the one thing that sex and violence have in common is there's a root of passion in the person. You don't go and beat the snot out of somebody without some passion inside you doing some pretty horrible things inside yourself.
I never did.
Yeah. I wonder why in... Christian circles, the Christian circles that I've personally been involved in, it's always been like an anti, you know, don't watch sex. Oh gosh, you know, boobs, naked boobs. Oh no. But, you know, watching violence has always been okay. Do different types of violence bother you?
The difference,
like, Saving Private Ryan versus Saw.
For me personally, I feel great sorrow when I watch war movies.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I watch a movie that has to do with like ancient wars and they're out charging with swords and stabbing each other on fields, I feel a lot of sadness knowing that in reality, a lot of people died charging onto a field.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of wives never saw husbands again because they went charging out onto a field. A lot of kids grew up without parents because they went charging out on a field. So I feel a lot of sadness in that. But then when I see something like Saw or Friday the 13th or Jason, and I get it, a lot of people love horror movies. Mm-hmm. I watch them and I just get kind of disgusted and sad that this is entertainment to God's children. We miss the mark on it. Like, it's not so much that violence should be entertainment. It's something that needs healing.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Well, we've been going for a little bit and I really would like to hear from you. What are your thoughts about sex and violence and its place in the kingdom?
Well, I mean, I think there's nothing inherently wrong with sex. Violence, I don't see a place for it. So I think sex gets corrupted in many ways and forms. So that's where there is something that the kingdom might have to say about it and putting it in its right place. There's definitely plenty of sex and violence in the Bible, and that's different than the kingdom because, you know, most of the Bible is telling history of how things have gone wrong and where God's kingdom is the message of the gospel and redeeming people and bringing things back to their right place. And I don't see a place for violence there. I see an opportunity for redemption.
For myself, I've unfortunately been the victim of violence on many, many occasions. And having thought about our topic just made me very aware of how much I overlook violence and how I don't take it as seriously as I should. I don't see it for the wrong that it often is. I see sometimes violence as, like, I don't want to say a necessary evil, but sometimes violence does have a factor that is necessary to it, I do believe. But in the kingdom of God that we have now on earth, I think that we should take a look at ourselves and take a look inward if we're finding ourselves non-moved by violence.
You know, when I look at some of Christ's commands and stuff and everything of, you know, love does no harm to their enemies, even to love your enemies, it becomes hard to, you know, bear out violence. I see, you know, where they wrestled with this throughout the ages was the idea of, you know, in times of protection, like say, if you saw someone trying to hurt someone and would you get physically involved? And yet, so I see, it's hard to, I can't find a place for violence. And yet I've okayed certain things in my life, kind of a hypocrisy there. With the sex thing, I certainly, relationship is something that was created by God. It's certainly something created. Sounds like violence was more of an invention of man. Sex and the relationship that's part of was something ordained and created by God. And here in America, at least, in a much of the large part of the world, it's violence has been something not only just permitted, but something encouraged. And that's something I grew up with, but that doesn't make it okay.
So what do you do with Joshua then, with violence not having a place in the kingdom?
Like I said, sometimes it's necessary. It's unfortunate, but it's unfortunately necessary. Right.
Yeah, with that particular situation, Joshua's the conquest of the promised land, I see going back to Abraham, mm-hmm. where God says, you know, you're going to go and your people are going to be slaves and for 400 plus years. And I'm going to bring them out of that nation and they're going to displace the peoples of these other nations because their sin has not reached its final conclusion. Seeing them actually almost like being deputized by God for that specific case to mete out his judgment upon a people group, which is something I see God's act in judgment in different than
Cain,
because he's a supreme judge over right. and does punish iniquity and different things. So I see it a little bit different. It's hard to make a direct correlation between how God would have us to be and yet the sovereign judge having to mete out judgment. And yet in the context of the world he put us in and had a dominion over, and that might not set with everyone, but I see it a little different. I see that situation a little different.
I don't think there's a place for violence with God's kids. I just don't think that God is calling his children into enacting violence on anybody. I think it's really dangerous to say otherwise, really. I mean, because then you're just opening up the door for some wackadoo to go shoot up a place because...
What about self-defense?
Do I think Christians have a right to conceal carry and shoot somebody that's trying to rob them? No, absolutely not. Because then you've just made the judgment that that person's life is worth less than whatever property you were trying to hold on to.
Okay, so I agree. And I have had to think about it a lot as somebody that has firearms, and I don't think I should shoot somebody that's trying to rob me, but if somebody's trying to kill me, I will probably shoot somebody. In college, somebody broke, I heard a loud thud, just like, and I was in the shower, and next thing I know, somebody was in the bathroom with me, and that man, many years later, put a woman in the trunk of his car in broad daylight. I can pull up the whole police report. He had her hostage in his home for several days and two escapes, and she finally was able to get help. You know, what am I supposed to do at that point? Am I supposed to, you know, pray? Maybe, because I started praying out loud in when I was being attacked, and that's what caused this person to leave my house, was I started praying out loud. But there's been other times where, you know, I've had other situations happen to me, and they completely happened. And I don't know. So sometimes I am, that's where I draw the line is, I do believe that for myself, I have come to a point where I am okay with, violent forms of self-defense.
And I think that's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. I really do. I mean, I don't want to kill anybody.
Sure, neither do I. Neither
do
I.
And I know you don't. And I think that part of the problem that we have in dealing with violence and murder is that we look at death with finality, even though we are Christians and we know that there's mm-hmm. life after death.
I'm not so much worried about dying. I'm more concerned with the things that I have gotten through with God's help have still been almost to the point where I've wanted to not continue on, because sometimes the trauma and the stress and the consequence of living through some of the traumatic experiences and violence that have been perpetrated upon me, that I have unfortunately lived through many, have been so hard that I would rather have died. So for me, it's not so much like, oh, I'm worried about death being a finality. It's also kind of a thing of, I don't want to have to live through another thing like that. I don't want to be a victim of another terrible, brutal assault without having the option of standing up for myself.
Well, I think you raised some things about, I mean, the idea of defending yourself. That was one of mm-hmm. the things that was struggled with in the whole just war kind of theory that's come down through the ages about what it's okay to do. And even when I look at Jesus, I can't find the precedent even of that. Mm-hmm. If I just use solely Jesus as the example,
sure.
And I have to do something else. It depends on how I come to terms with that. You know, hey, I preventing someone from doing evil or whatever the case may be. It also brings up issues of, you know, capital punishment. You know, certainly there seems to be a Old Testament biblical command of, or the situation, if man spills man's blood, his blood will be required of him. That brings another aspect of violence in the modern era. When I simply just look at Jesus, it becomes hard to maintain even a self-defense kind of situation, mm-hmm. just if I solely want to look at him. That's challenging.
Sometimes we feel like violence is the only way to defend ourselves or protect ourselves. And I'm just wondering if there's other ways. Like, can we hide people? Can we raise awareness? Like, I don't know. I don't think not acting in violence means that we're totally defenseless.
Not acting in violence has given me post-traumatic stress disorder and made me suicidal. So there's that too.
And then, you know, God gave you the cannabis plant to take care of that. But
don't do it.
You don't want
to
deal with that, do you?
Good way to bring some levity to the situation.
Then I won't be able to have my concealed carry permit.
Maybe you wouldn't care as much about that.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
I think for me, it's nice to kind of go ahead and take a look at why I believe what I believe and see how I might want to do some things maybe mm-hmm. differently.
Sure.
Regardless of whatever way you see it. Oftentimes I think our own ideas of what we cling to goes unexamined. I think it's good to let God's word interpret us, see how we might do things differently or make some changes to have more of God in our life, to see what some other options and solutions might be, and to redeem us and all of our areas where we might need some redemption.
Well, holy cow, that'll about do it for this episode, I guess. We've completely solved that one.
Right?
Delusions of grandeur.
Well, I didn't really think we'd solve anything, but...
I think we've raised some good questions.
Yeah, me too. Agreed.
You know, we started this conversation talking about which ones does more damage to the kingdom or to the church. But really, I don't think that that's even the question we should be talking about. What's most relevant for the kingdom is how do we approach our own lives so that we can have those eye-opening, visceral moments where we can look at our life and look at our situation, look at the way we're interacting with the world and with the things the world has for us to interact with, and really have a moment of awakening into where our hearts are.
Yeah, get an idea of what's going on with us. What's really going on with us.
Yeah. Because I think you hit something with, there's something there that is broken that needs healing, that we are distracting ourselves with either the sex or the violence or both.
Yeah.
When it comes to all sorts of forms of entertainment, we are simply not wanting to shut everything up and really think about our mind, body, and soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're clueless to what the abundant life is that Jesus promised and wonder why our discontentment, why it's not there. And there's something in there that's keeping us from that. Mm. Something that we're clinging to and holding on to and feel we can't live without.
And Hollywood has found these two things that distract us. They're so distracting.
Good diversions.
Absolutely.
If I can just keep you diverted and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'll do it for this show.
Join us next time
when we talk about how our physical wellness affects our spiritual health. Feel free to reach out to us at kingdomconversations79@gmail.com or on our Kingdom Conversations Quadcast Facebook page.
That's right. And you can find us on lots of avenues to find podcasts.
Our Kingdom Conversations Quadcast is now on iHeartRadio.
Woohoo!
What? And the best way to make sure you don't miss an episode, like, I know that you guys don't want to accidentally miss an episode, so the best way is to subscribe.
It's free.
It's easy.
It's worth it.
And I'm really looking forward to our topic next week, where we're going to talk about how our physical health can impact our spiritual health and well-being. I suggested this because next week I'll be running the New York City Marathon.
Woohoo!
And I don't know how my physical health will be after the marathon. I think there's a lot of things that we learn through disciplining our body, keeping ourselves healthy, and just even like mindfulness and things we've talked about in the past. So I think it'll be a fun one. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss that one.
Thanks for listening.
Is there something else we're supposed to say at the ends of these things?
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Catch you next time.
Are you taking notes?